I just want to give a very warm welcome tonight to the meeting here in the hall. And you come, look, it's good to see you. It's good to see the folks in from the locality. It's also good to see folks that have travelled a wee distance just to support us, and we appreciate everyone that's come. We know that, as we've said so often times at the beginning of a meeting like this, life makes a lot of demands. Lives are really busy today, and we appreciate everyone that has just taken time out just to come and to listen to the Word of God. And as we said already, if you've just come to listen to a preacher, then you're going to be sadly disappointed. But if you've come to listen to God speak, then God has a message for you. And that message is the message of salvation. God wants to save you from your sins. God wants to change your life. God wants to give you the hope of heaven at the end of life's journey. It's a great message. It's a message that comes from the very heart of God. And God is a God of love. The Bible says God is love. God is love. That's the character of God. That's the nature of God. That's the being of God. He is love. Someone said that when God loves, he's just being himself, because he is love. God's love doesn't go up and down like our love. God's love is always the same. It always flows out. It flows out to us tonight. And from the heart of God's love, God has a message for us, the message of salvation. God wants us to be saved, from our sins. God wants us to be bound for heaven, for eternity. So we thank you for coming, and we remind you of the meetings as they'll continue throughout the rest of the week in the will of God, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday at the same time at 8 o'clock, and we'd love to see you back again as often as you can and over these incoming weeks in God's will. And if you can encourage others to come, then we'd appreciate that very much indeed. We meet for a wee time of prayer about 7:15 for those that are able to join with us, just to pray for God's movement, for the movement of God's Spirit in the community of Newcomnock. Now, if you do pray, you might remember the Freeburn family tonight, who have been in the habit of coming to the meetings here. They came almost every night the last time we were here last year, and they have been attending meetings here regularly in the Baptist Church and in other places. Billy Freeburn took ill this afternoon, just up at the bottom of O'Hanna Drive. He was sitting there with John, and Billy took a turn of some sort and eventually had to be taken away by the ambulance. Now, I don't know that the current situation, certainly when he was taken into the ambulance, he was still unconscious. Young John was in a bit of a state, and you might just remember the family at this time, and that the Lord would really draw near and comfort and sustain them in the midst of their need. God is good. Sometimes, you know, God gets a bad press, and God gets the blame for all the bad things that happen in the world, but God's good. The Bible tells us that God is good. He's a good God. And God wants to be good and gracious to you tonight. He wants to save you. And that's why he's brought you in under the sound of his word. So I just want to read two verses from my Bible. The first is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 28. We read these words last night, and we'll just read them again. They're some of the most precious words, some of the sweetest words in the whole of the Bible. They're the words of the Lord Jesus. And this is what he says. He says, "Come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus says, "Come unto me." But there's a wee verse in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 40, and this is what it says. And again, it's the Lord Jesus, and he says, "You will not come. You will not come to me that ye might have life." On the one hand, the Lord Jesus Christ stands with his arms outstretched, and he gives forth this amazing appeal. He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." And the Lord Jesus has to say on another occasion, "You will not come. You will not come that you might have life." I would imagine there are people in the meeting tonight, and there's been a time in your life, once, twice, maybe a number of times, when you've heard the appeal of Christ. When you've heard in the depths of your soul the appeal, the voice of the Lord Jesus appealing to you to come to him and to trust in him. And you have some little appreciation tonight of all that Christ offers you. He offers you rest. He offers you forgiveness of sins. He offers you eternal life. He offers you reconciliation with God. He offers you a home of heaven. And you've heard the tender, loving appeal of the Lord Jesus to come to him. And yet the Lord Jesus has to look into your life tonight. And with sadness in his heart, he says, "You will not come." you will not come that you might have life. And I just want to ponder with you tonight reasons why people don't come to Christ. I wonder what's keeping you back from him tonight. Why are you not saved? Why have you never become a Christian? Why have you never trusted the Lord Jesus? Why are you still in your sins tonight? And all the time the Lord Jesus Christ appeals to you and appeals to you and appeals to you and says, come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you life. I will give you peace. I will give you salvation. He offers it freely. Why? Why do you refuse tonight? Why do you refuse to come to Christ? The reason some people refuse to come to Christ is because of pride. Pride. There was a preacher of a bygone generation and he used to talk about rotten, stinking pride. And it's in your heart tonight, isn't it? And it's in mine. And that might just be the reason up until now you've refused to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's because of pride in your heart. Too proud to admit you're a sinner. Well, it's not that you don't know that you're a sinner, but it's just you're too proud to confess it before God. You see, I don't think there are too many people in your Cumnock tonight that don't know they're sinners. But there are many people in your Cumnock and they're too proud to confess that they're sinners. And as sinners, they're in desperate need of salvation. And as sinners, they're lost and they're undone. But that's the reality. And if we're honest tonight, we must confess that that's the reality. That sin has ruined our lives. That sin has broken relationship with God. And that sin is the very thing that will take us away from God forever. That's the reality of sin. And yet there are people that are too proud to confess their sins. And they're too proud to confess that they need Jesus to be their Saviour. Is that what's keeping you back from Christ tonight? You're just too proud to admit you're a sinner. There was a man that we read about in the New Testament. He's oftentimes referred to as the prodigal son. And he got away from the father. And he decided one day that he would come home. And he knew there was three words that he was going to have to utter before the Father. And I tell you, these words would stick in his throat time and time again. I have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned. You see, before he could experience reconciliation with the Father, before he could experience the Father's forgiveness, he had to confess he had sinned. He had to accept responsibility for it. You see, people say, oh, I know I've sinned, but... You see, God doesn't accept any buts. God doesn't accept any excuses. God wants individuals to come to him just taking responsibility for their life and just confessing that they've sinned. Are you too proud for that tonight? Is that what's keeping you back from the Lord? You're too proud to admit that you're a sinner. Some people are too proud to admit that they've lived so long without Christ. They don't want to turn around. They don't want to lose face. You see, statistics would prove that the older a person gets, the less likely they are to turn to Christ. Because the longer a person lives, the more set in their ways, the more stubborn their heart, and the less the chance is that they're going to come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. You don't really hear about many old folks getting saved. You don't even hear of many middle-aged getting saved. The majority of people that come to the Lord Jesus come when they're young. But isn't it wonderful that you're here tonight? Doesn't matter whether you're 8 or whether you're 80, you're here tonight and you've got an opportunity to come to the Lord. I wonder, are you too set in your ways to come? Are you too stubborn to come?
Are you too proud to admit that you've gone astray for so long and you've had it wrong for so long?
Or are you prepared just to come in humility tonight? And just to bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I've sinned. And I need you to be my saviour. Because I can't save myself. There's some people and they're too proud to accept salvation, the salvation that the Lord offers. They're too proud to accept it as a free gift. That's a problem with a lot of people, you know. They're too proud. They want to do something to be saved. They want to pay something. They want to contribute something to their salvation. And the Bible tells us it's without money, it's without price. There's nothing we can pay. And there's nothing we can do. The Lord Jesus has provided it. He's paid the price by his death on the cross. He shed his blood that salvation, that forgiveness of sins might be our experience. The price is paid. What can you add to the work of Calvary? What can I add to the work of Calvary? There's nothing we can add to it. It's done. That was almost the last words that the Lord Jesus spoke as he hung in Calvary's cross. He says, it is finished. It's done. The work's finished. There's no work that you can add to it. God's not interested in our pounds and our pennies. He's not interested in our sweat or our toil. He says, just come to the Lord Jesus and trust him. And this great gift of salvation will be yours. And it'll be yours forever. Will you come to him tonight? Or are you too proud? Too proud to admit you're a sinner. Too proud to admit that you've been wrong for years. Too proud just to accept God's salvation as a free gift. Ah, my friend, it is free tonight. It's free to you. But my friend, it cost God his son. And it cost his son his life's blood on Calvary. Oh, my friend, it's free, but it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. What a price was paid that you might be saved. God paid the price. Christ laid down his life on the cross that you might be saved. That's how much God wants you to be saved. That's how much God wants to forgive you. That's how much he wants you to be in heaven. That he was prepared to pay that awful price at Calvary, and he offers it. My Lord Jesus has come to me. Come to me. That's the appeal of the loving heart of Christ. Will you come tonight? Or will you allow your pride to come between you and the great gift of eternal salvation? Some people refuse to come to Christ, not just because of pride in their heart, but because of the love of sin in their heart. You see, we really can't come to the Lord Jesus and receive his forgiveness if we want to continue in our sin. That would be illogical, wouldn't it, to ask God to forgive us of something that we didn't want to forsake. God will never do that. Now maybe you don't want to forsake your sin. Maybe you love it too much. Maybe it means too much to you. Those sins that you practice daily, those sinful habits that you've got in your life and you get enjoyment from them. You don't want to give them up. Maybe that's what's keeping you back from Christ tonight. That's why you're not saved tonight, because you don't want to give up your sin. A friend of mine was preaching down in Kilmarnock a number of years ago in the Grand Hall, and after the meeting was finished, the caretaker was sweeping up, and he came to my friend. He says, he says, I could never give up my sin. And the preacher says, you come to the Lord Jesus and he'll give you the power to give up your sin. Ah, he says, that's not the problem. He says, I don't want to give it up. Don't want to give it up. That's maybe your problem tonight. You don't want to give up your sin. You love it too much. You see, when a person comes to the Lord Jesus, there's a change takes place in their life. There's things they've got to abandon. There's things they've got to forsake. God says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy. You see, God can only forgive our sins if we're willing to forsake them. I know it's difficult, but he gives us the power He gives us the power if we'll just trust Him, if we'll come to Him. I wonder, are you hanging on to your sin tonight? If you're hanging on to your sin, you've never really seen how awful sin is. And you've never seen how dangerous sin is. My friend, it's your sin that will take you down to the depths of everlasting judgment. Your sin.
It's not God that condemns men to hell. It's men condemn themselves by their sin. You want to hold on to it? My friend, if someone dropped a hot coal in the palm of your hand, you would drop it immediately. You wouldn't want burns. And yet men hold on to that which will cause them to burn in the lake of fire for eternity. Oh, my friend, leave it tonight. Turn your back on all your sinful practices and turn to the Lord. He offers forgiveness. And He offers power to break sin in your life, to enable you to live a new life, a life lived for the glory and honour of God. What a Saviour He is. Will you come to Him tonight? Or are you too proud? Do you love your sin too much? Or do you love the world too much? That's one of the reasons some people don't come to love the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, the world's attractive, isn't it? The world's got so much to offer us. But the Bible tells us that the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And he's a deceiver. I know it's attractive. I know it's appealing. I know it draws us all in. But there's nothing really there that's lasting. Nothing. The Bible tells us there's coming a day when the whole world will be consumed as by fire. And all the world's systems will come to an end. And are you allowing the love of the world to come between yourself and the Lord Jesus? For some people it's the love of the great world of commerce, the world of materialism, the world of things, possessions. Living in a materialistic age, aren't we? People grasp after things. You know, for the last 13 years or so, I've been visiting the country of Romania and latterly into the Republic of Moldova. And you know the tragedy I've seen? I've seen individuals who a number of years ago had a thirst and a hunger for God, and they no longer have it. Why? Because they're now chasing the dollar, and they're chasing the euro, and they're chasing the material things of this world. It's taken up their affection. Satan's deluded them, and he's drawing them away from having an interest in their soul to simply having an interest in their body. Oh, there's nothing wrong with having money. The Bible speaks about those who are rich, and the Bible speaks about those who would be rich. The Bible speaks about the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And there are some people in the pursuit after wealth and riches. And that comes between them and Christ. It's a big problem. It was a problem in the Lord's day. And you read through the Gospels and you'll discover time and time again the Lord Jesus will tell us stories, incidents of rich men who allowed their riches to come between them and salvation. A rich farmer that says, look at the harvest, I'm going to gather in the harvest and I'm going to pull down my barns, I'm going to build greater barns, and I'm going to eat, drink and be merry, I've got many years. The Lord says, you're a fool, this night your soul's required of you. And that night his life ended and he was out to meet God in his sins and to plunge into a lake of fire. You see, riches had everything, riches had become his God. And riches had kept him back from the true and living God. And he died in his sins. Wonder, are you pursuing the wealth of this world? Is that what keeps you back from Christ? It's maybe the pleasure of this world. That's another aspect of the world around us. Not only the commercial, materialistic aspect, but the pleasure aspect. The world's got many pleasures to offer us, hasn't it? Don't ego far.
And it all just draws men in. Draws them further and further away from God. My friend, I want to ask you, is there really lasting, true, deep satisfaction in the pleasures of this world? Is there really? Is there really satisfaction at the end of a bottle? Is there really satisfaction at the end of a night spent in the round of dancing? Is there real satisfaction there at the end? Is there real satisfaction in all that the world offers around us? Oh, there's satisfaction for a moment, isn't there? But it just goes. It's elusive. And it satisfies for a wee while. And then leaves us with a feeling of emptiness and a searching and a longing for more and more and more. My friend, Christ satisfies. God spoke to the people of Israel in the Old Testament and he says, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've cut out for themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's what men and women have done today, isn't it? They've forsaken God. He's the fountain of living water. He's the one in whom we can find lasting, eternal satisfaction is found in Him. And men have forsaken God. And they've cut out for themselves cisterns that don't hold any water. It just seeps away. The hymn writer said, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled, and they mocked me as I wailed. Is that not right? Is that not true in your experience? You know the cistern that you have been drinking at in your life. You know the pleasure that you've set your heart in, and you've stooped to drink in it, and it's mocked you. No satisfaction, no high, nothing. Emptiness, misery. My friend, the Lord Jesus satisfies. Will you trust Him tonight? Will you come to Him? That's all He's asking you to do, just to come to Him in faith. Just a step of faith away from the misery of your sin and the bondage of your sin to Him to find life and peace and eternal satisfaction. Oh, what's keeping you back tonight? What's keeping you back from Christ? Is it your pride? Is it your love of sin? Is it your love of the world? Is it the fear of man? The fear of man. That was Pilate's problem. Pilate was the man that sentenced the Lord Jesus to die at Calvary, and he was afraid of man. You see, Pilate knew what was right, but he was afraid to do what was right. Pilate knew the truth about the Lord Jesus, but he was afraid to act on it. Mind you, God was gracious to Pilate. He gave him every opportunity. And yet he spurned it. God's been good to you tonight. Some of you have heard the appeal of Christ many times. God and His wonderful goodness and grace has brought you in here tonight that He might appeal to you again. I wonder, are you going to spurn it? Are you going to go out the hall the way you come in, still in your sin, still lost? But I wonder, will you come to Christ tonight? Trust in Him. Know what it is to have eternal life in Him. You know what God did to Pilate? While he was actually interviewing the Lord Jesus and making up his mind what he was going to do, the Lord Jesus, God spoke to his wife in a dream. And she woke up and she ran to her husband and she says, Pilate, she says, I've nothing to do with this just man. And despite the appeal of God through a dream to his wife, he was afraid. He was afraid of what Caesar would say. Caesar was his boss back there in Rome. He was afraid of what the crowd would say. He was afraid of the consequences. And it was fear that caused them to crucify Christ. What about you tonight? Are you afraid? Afraid of your companions? What would they say if I got saved? Aye, what would they say?
What would my family say? What would my partner say?
What would be the consequences of me getting saved tonight? Well, you might get it rough for a wee while in the village.
You might get laughed at for a wee while. You might get mocked.
But men, we can mock you out into hell, but they can never mock you out of it. I wonder, are you afraid tonight? Well, you wouldn't be afraid to stand up to someone face to face
and fight out the bit with them.
But you'd be afraid of taking a stand for Christ and saying in the village, listen, I've become a Christian. I've come to the Saviour. I'm one of His.
My sins are gone and I've got a new life.
In Christ my Saviour, in Christ my Lord. Is it the fear of man that's keeping you back?
Way back in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, we read these words, the fear of man brings a snare, it's a trap.
But whoso puts their trust in the Lord shall be saved. Put your trust in Him tonight. And forget about men. God will look after you. God will look after you. Or you might lose some friends if you trust the Lord.
Because if you trust the Lord, you won't be running about doing the things that you've formerly done, and you'll lose some of your friends, but I tell you, you'll get much better friends.
And you'll get a friend who's promised to stick closer than a brother, and His name is Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And He says to you tonight, come to me. What would keep you back from the Saviour?
Your pride, the love of sin, the love of the world, the fear of man.
Or maybe the thing that's keeping you back tonight is just the thought that you're going to have another chance some other time to come. You think, well, when I'm a bit older.
There's things I would like to do with my life before that. I don't want to hand over my life to the Lord Jesus right now, some other time.
There's a man called Felix in the New Testament, and he heard the message that you're hearing tonight.
He heard the voice of God, and this is what he said to the preacher.
He says, when I've got a convenient season, when I've got a convenient season, he says, I'll come. I'll hear then. Maybe you're saying that. Maybe some other time. Maybe tomorrow night I'll come and listen again.
Maybe I'll get things sorted out in my mind a wee bit clearer tomorrow night. Maybe tomorrow night or next week. Maybe next year.
The Bible says we shouldn't even boast of tomorrow because we don't know what another day brings forth.
Life is just like a vapour that appears and disappears. It's just like a weaver's shuttle that goes across the loom. You can hardly see it. It's faster than the eye.
That's what life is like. The Bible says we spend our days as a tale that is told. Life is so quick. It's so brief, isn't it?
Death is sure. And beyond death, there's eternity. An eternity under divine judgment for those who have never come to Christ.
And an eternity in heaven for those that have come now. What's keeping you back tonight? Now's the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come, for all things are now ready, says the Lord Jesus. Come now. You know, you don't even need to wait to the end of the meeting, and that's only a couple of minutes away. And you certainly don't need to come to speak to the preacher. You just need to take that step and say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you because I'm a sinner, and you love me, and you died for me, and you've promised me so much, and I'm trusting you tonight. Come to Christ. Maybe you're just presuming in the mercy of God, and you're saying to yourself, well, you know, at the end of the day, everything will be all right, and God will just open the wide gates of heaven, and everyone will be in. That's what people teach today. That's a lie from the devil. The Bible doesn't teach that.
I tell you, if everyone was going to heaven, why did Christ die?
Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners, to provide a salvation that no one could have provided for themselves. God offers that salvation to whosoever believes, whosoever will come, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord. Well, God is a merciful God. Right now He's merciful. You could have been somewhere else tonight. You could have been sitting in front of the telly. You could have been running the streets. You could have been doing 101 things. But God in His grace and His mercy has brought you here. Because He's got a message for you. He's got an appeal to your heart. He wants you to have life eternal. He wants you to be saved from your sins. And the Lord Jesus, the one that offers all that, He stretches out His nail-scarred hands. And He says, come to Me. Will you come tonight just as you are? Just take that simple step of faith and say, Jesus, I'll trust You. I'll trust You with my soul. I'm guilty, I'm lost, and I'm helpless. But You can make me whole. Will You come to Him tonight? Just trust Christ. Just come as you are. Or is there still something between you and Him? Still too proud? Still love your sin? Still love the world? Still fear man? Oh, my friend, put everything behind you tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ will be better for you than the world can ever do. He's a mighty Saviour. He's good and true. He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's faithful. Oh, my friend, He says to you tonight, come to Me. Come to Me. Can there be anything simpler than that? Jesus says, come unto Me. Will you come? Let's pray. Our Father, in the quietness of these closing moments of the meeting, we just bow in Thy presence. We thank Thee that Thou hast heard our prayer. We thank Thee that You've drawn near. We believe, O God, that Thy voice has been heard. And we just pray that there will be a response to that tonight. We know that the devil, our God, will put in so many distractions. He'll bring so many thoughts, so many doubts, our God, so many concerns into people's minds. But we pray that by Thy powerful, almighty Spirit, we pray, our God, that individuals will just turn their back on their sin. We repent tonight. And we put their faith in the Lord Jesus, coming to Him in all their need and trusting Him to be their Lord and their Saviour. We thank Thee, our God, for this wonderful salvation that has been provided. Grant, our God, that others would enter into it tonight and leave this building rejoicing in the fact that they've made that life-changing decision just to come to the Lord Jesus and trust Him alone to be their Saviour. Bless then Thy words to every heart, we pray, in the Lord's name. Now, just to finish the meeting in an orderly manner, we're just going to sing a verse of hymn number 292. We're just going to keep our seats, and we're just going to sing the first verse of 292. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. So again, we just want to thank you for coming. We would love to see you again tomorrow night if you're free, or Wednesday night, or Thursday night, or whatever nights you're free. We'd love to see you back. But if you want to discuss any of these things on a personal basis, then we're happy to speak to you now, or to speak to you in your home. There's literature at the back of the hall. Our only concern is that you would come to Christ. We've got no other agenda. We're not out just to fill numbers in the Gospel Hall or anywhere else in the district. All we're interested in is you come to Christ. And if we can help you make that step of faith in Christ, then we'll do all that we can just to sit and to pray with you and to speak to you more about our loving Saviour and our precious friend. So let's just keep our seats and just sing the first verse of 292, and after that the meeting is entirely over. Thanks again.